Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined, as always, by Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch, no G.A. Wiley, she's in Vegas, no Jake Dicker, he's off to Wisconsin, so just the three amigos. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. I hope Jihei places the bet that I'm wanting, the Steelers to win the AFC North. I have not watched football a lot in the past year. Yeah. I know you guys are out on that, but I got
no. They'll be good. They'll be good. I like Trubisky. Right. He looked really good.
I'm not denying that. Nobody likes Mitch Trubisky more than Armani Buckets.
No, than his cousin.
Oh, his cousin too. Well, your cousin has the greatest collection of jerseys of all time.
He's a random.
Random, most random, great collection of jerseys.
He had a Jimmy Butler Minnesota jersey, and I thought it was like an Andrew Wiggins Minnesota jersey, and I was like, I don't think they like him much in Minnesota. So,
yeah, he could tell he'll be a co-host one day on this show. He delivers his takes very, like, this is a fact.
And he doesn't back down.
For the listeners, he's 13 years old.
Exactly. So it was great. We got to have him back on. A lot to get to today. So with that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, Buckets!
Well, guys, again last night, Dodgers closer Craig Kimbrel blew another save in the 11th inning as the Dodgers lost to the Brewers 5-4. Why does Dave Roberts continue to put Kimbrel out there when the result is usually bad? And do you think that this is the end for Craig Kimbrel as the Dodgers closer?
It really should be. We don't need to see this play out. I think everyone watching that game knew what was going to happen. Dave Roberts maybe knew what was going to happen playing with house money right now. The fact of the matter is, for whatever reason, it is the one deficiency of this team year in and year out. They can't find a closer, and this is worse than Kenley Jansen, because at least with Kenley Jansen, there was some history there. He was a homegrown product. Craig Kimbrel, you make that trade to get a closer. They can still not find a closer. So Brandon, whether it's someone that they have already, whether it's May, whether it's someone else, this guy, number one, should not be near a mound again this season, but certainly as we head into September, going into the postseason, no more Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah, I mean, Arash, you hit it right on the money. Everybody knew when Kimbrel came in that 11th inning. I know they were kind of like limited in the pen, but anybody else really instead of Kimbrel, you put Kimbrel in, we knew what was going to happen. Guy on second to start the inning, he's wild. He's a very, you know, he's a big risk taker, always gets to 3-2, you know, either walks a guy, gives up a hit, home run, whatever. yeah, he can't be the closer. Yes, they need to find a closer. We'll see. Trinan should be back eventually. But for now, you can't roll Kimbrel out there. Literally anybody. Bring up someone from AAA. Yeah. Bring up like Bobby Miller, their top pitching prospect, and put him in the pen. See what happens. He's got electric stuff.
Michael Duarte tweeted this. Shout out Michael Duarte. Dave Roberts said he is not considering a change in the closer role. Quote, I really thought Craig threw the ball well tonight. And then one more from Bill Plunkett tweeted out, Craig Kimbrel on to protect a 4-3 lead. None of his 20 saves this season have involved him entering with a one-run lead. And that is literally the job of a closer.
100%. And then Chris Taylor saves the game. I mean, so when you have a player making a play like that, you got to help him out. You got to find a way to win that game. But the problem is, guys, you're talking about tweets. Like, everyone on Twitter knew what was going to happen. And he loads up the bases. And so you know what's going to happen. And really, the only thing that I keep thinking is Dave didn't want to say it, but this was his last chance. This was, look at Craig, whether we win or whether we lose, we're 16 games up on the division, four games up on the league. We don't care if we lose this game. This is your one chance. I would be shocked if we see Craig Kimbrel once again with a similar one-run lead.
So what was up with the post-game quote then by Dave? You think that was...
I think, listen, he's not going to say it publicly. Okay. He's not going to... I mean, listen, Craig Kimbrel knows the way he played. That entire clubhouse knows the way he played. So listen, the one thing that's potentially helping Craig Kimbrel right now, these aren't must-win games, right? They're 16 games up on in the division. They're not worried about whether they win and lose a game on a Wednesday or Tuesday against the Brewers. That being said, the confidence is not there. This team's, the way that they've played in these one-run games, not that good. So listen, when they win by five or six or more, fantastic. That's the concerning thing. They are a 500 team during these one-run games.
Yeah, it is concerning, and definitely when you get into October and you're playing a team like the Mets, you know, who has a lockdown. 100%. They have a lockdown closer in Edwin Diaz and a great pitching staff. If they can hang offensively with the Dodgers, and same thing with the Braves, who are just going absolutely nuts right now. Jake saying that's a clown take by me. Oh yeah, they've won 9 straight games, Jake Dicker. Hope you're listening.
By the way, Jake Dicker may be at the game tonight or tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
game. All right.
So, but it's like the Braves are clicking on all cylinders. Morton had 12 strikeouts. So I think both the Braves and the Mets could beat the Dodgers. But again, they have to hit with the Dodgers. That's been almost impossible for any team all season long. The Dodgers are, of course, the best team in baseball right now. But remember, none of these wins matter in October. The Dodgers know they won a full season ring. Arash, you've talked
100%.
About it. Obviously, it's great to have that ring in the shortened season, but they want a real ring with a real parade for a full season.
Well, it's like a two-pronged thing. It's like, A, of all the bubble championships, that one is kind of the worst because it's a 60-game season.
Lacks the most
validity. It lacks 100%. But the other thing is they want that moment of having that parade, of having that moment with the fans. And so, yes, they got the World Series ring in 2020. They want the real one. They want the full season one. They want the one where they can, you know, come back to Los Angeles, have a parade. But why have they not been able to find a closer? And I'm not saying it's a simple thing, but for, what, 5-plus years now, that's the one thing. It's the most talented team in baseball. World Series in 2017, 2018, 2020. Like, this entire run that they've had, they've not had a solid closer.
Yeah, look, I don't get whether it's, you know, what Friedman and Roberts are conversing in their conversations, but Bobby Miller throws 100 miles an hour. I know he's your top prospect. They want to be very careful with him, and they want him to be a starter. But I'm just saying, like, right now you're going to have May start. He could have been the closer if Bueller was healthy, but he has to start now because Bueller's going to be out. Why not bring up a Bobby Miller who has electric stuff, who you know can get through at least one inning? He struck out Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and Anthony Rendon in a preseason game for the Dodgers. So bring that guy up.
Do you think he'll be a September call-up?
I do. I think the Dodgers
would be so huge.
I think the Dodgers need it, and I think that they're going to have to. I know his stats haven't been great in the minors this past year, but he still has electric stuff, whiff rate. He's better than Craig Kimbrel already. Bring him up.
Can they wait till September? Because that's 2 weeks away still, and you kind of like need a closer. You need to figure this out now, right?
Yeah, I would bring him up, but again, like, they'll still win a ton of games. They don't, they won't need a closer in half of, you know, in 75% of their games. So,
well, speaking of LA teams, Derwin James and the Chargers have agreed on a massive 4-year, $76.4 million extension, which averages around $19 million a year and resets the safety market. This deal makes James the highest paid safety in NFL history. The Chargers now have an NFL high 4 defensive players making at least $15 million per year and are all under contract for at least the next 3 seasons. Do the Chargers have to win the Super Bowl during this time period to move the needle in LA?
Listen, it's a high bar, but they have to. Why? Because the Rams won a Super Bowl. The Rams are the defending champions. The Rams, since they've come back to Los Angeles, have been to the Super Bowl twice, have won once. Not only did they win once, they won it within their home stadium at SoFi. So if the Chargers do hope to move the needle here in Los Angeles, they do have to win. They've done what they have to do. They understood the assignment, as the kids say. They've brought in the most talented team. When you look on paper, this is, in my view, the most talented team in the league. They got the best quarterback in town. No knock on Matthew Stafford. Justin Herbert is a franchise player. 100%. So they got the talent on the offensive side of the ball. And you touched on it, Buckets, defensive side of the ball. They got 4 of the best players on the defensive side, and that they're locked up. So this is such a massive year for the Chargers because, again, if you want to move the needle here, you have to win. So they have the talent. Can they finally put it all together?
I think they can. I know I'm coming out with, you know, for the Sports Tribune, the Los Angeles Chargers outlook. You know, I have them winning the division. I think this is a team that could very well get to the Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills will be their biggest competition other than, you know, their own division that they play in, Chiefs, Raiders, whatnot. I think this is their year. This is going to be like a Rams type of year last year. They want to prove something. They've been close. You know, they've had the team. Now it's all about things going their way. They got to be healthy. Derwin James, Asante Samuel Jr., J.C. Jackson, great secondary, right? Then they got Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack on the defensive end of the side of the football, right? And then they got Eckler's healthy. Josh Palmer was a rookie last year. He'll step up. I really love this team. I think they could be going to the Super Bowl this year if they find out how to beat the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs.
It seems like such a crucial year for them too, because you have the Rams, who just came off a championship. You need to win over some portion of a fan base in LA, because my recurring memory of the Chargers in my head is them playing at StubHub Center, and the building was packed with the opposing team's fans.
And when you say packed, 25,000 yeah. fans, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a very small crowd, but still, it was like, is this team going to survive in LA? And now you have the quarterback, which is going to at least attract a young audience. We see it with Pat Mahomes. Yeah. We're seeing it with Herbert. You have the defense. It's time to stop with the excuses. And if you're going to develop a fan base and have success in Los Angeles, you cannot wait till next season anymore. This is the time when you have to win a division.
And this was the issue with the Clippers, where like they were a good team. They were one of the top 5 teams in the league, but they were never one of the top 4. They never made it to the conference finals. And here in Los Angeles, you have to win. And not just win during the season. You got to make it to the conference finals. You got to make it to the finals. And you got to win that ring, because like that's all that matters. When you're in a city like Los Angeles, where the Rams have won a Super Bowl, the Lakers have won, the Dodgers have won, the Kings have won, you have to win. So they've put together the pieces, and that's key. You know, because they could have come here and said, hey, listen, we got a sweetheart deal to play at SoFi. We're like a 500 team. They've put in the time. They've spent a ton. They've put together a Super Bowl contending team, but they really do have to win. The other thing that they have going for them right now, it's an affordable ticket. And you could knock them because of, you know, Lola, you could go into the game for $20. Fine. Find a way to get some fans in there. Bring in some kids in there, like you said. Give them some jerseys. Grow that fan base.
The tickets are $20?
Just for the preseason.
I was going to be gosh.
Let me put this out there. Friday's preseason game, the Rams and the Texans, $9.
Okay.
$9 ticket for preseason.
Hey, if you're going to go, by the way, I don't know if they figured out that parking situation yet at SoFi, but you better like Uber
park at
and
Hollywood
walk,
Park or like or yeah, walk. Or walk.
You know, or Uber like 5 blocks away and then walk the rest of the way.
So I don't know.
Never parking there again.
In terms of AFC West, Brandon said Chargers. Do you have a pick yet? Or
I do like the Chargers, but I mean, it's a little bit like when I pick the Clippers, where like, this is my pick based on the talent that they have, but I can't not remember the history. I mean, you go back to that last game of the season in Vegas,
man.
Where Brandon Staley, like, based
on all year, he had
all year, but it's just like, bro, like, what are you doing?
But I think then again, like, all the calls didn't go his way, and that was like
that's
luck, right? Yeah. So this year, he's bound to get some of those calls go his way, right?
But by the way, I like that mentality here in Los Angeles. Like I don't know if that would fly in certain places, but I kind of like that.
No.
4th and 2, go for it.
Yeah, all for it or nothing. That's
like
the LA mentality.
Yeah.
You hustle, you're going all in. There's no settling,
mm-hmm.
right?
So in terms of, last question real quick, in terms of Raiders, Chargers, I know what you think, Brandon. What do you think the disparity is between those two teams? Is it close?
I think they're very close. The Chargers, in my view, just on paper, are the superior team. However, if we're still kind of talking about fan base, if you go to that first game of the season at SoFi Stadium, it'll be a sea of silver and black.
Yeah.
The number of fans we still have here. And I just made that flight to Las Vegas, a 41-minute flight. Mm-hmm. It's basically like we have three teams here. So that's the other thing that's hard for the Chargers. They're in the division with the team that is in, and I don't think that they still are the most popular team here, but like one of, if not the most popular team here, is the Raiders.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the disparity isn't much, Armand. They won 10 games. Now they add Davante Adams, right?
Yeah.
So like, they're going to be good. Again, they play in a tough division. I see like probably second or third in the division finish. I honestly think the Broncos will finish last.
Yeah. I think so too.
You know, yep. 9 or 10 wins, but last, right? So like every team in that division's winning 9 games.
Yep. I actually agree with you there. So let's move on though to Bronny James. After reports surfaced yesterday that the Oregon Ducks were the front runners to sign Bronny James, LeBron James refuted the reports and said that he hasn't even been on a visit, and when he picks a school, you will hear it from him. What do you guys make of this whole situation?
It's a Nike campus. I mean, when you talk about like cool jerseys and cool shoes and things like that, that makes sense that they would be kind of in that mix. That being said, I mean, if LeBron's going to be in Los Angeles for the long term, kind of surprised at USC, UCLA. But again, according to LeBron James himself, no decision has been made. He's going to go. But like, listen, like, did you see the dunk he had there? This is the real deal. I mean, I really just feel bad all the pressure that's on him right now. I mean, he's one of the most talked about players in the world just when you talk about social media, and he's in high school right now. So listen, his dad knows what that was like. He's not his dad in that respect, but yeah, like, beginning now, what college is he going to go to? Is he one and done? Is he going to go pro? Will his dad go to the team that he goes to? All these questions will start now.
Yeah, Bronny's looked really good. He should, you know, keep going up in the rankings. He's a very mature point guard for his age. Yeah, he doesn't have the size yet. Maybe he'll grow a couple more inches. His brother obviously is already 6'6", and probably going to be a better prospect if he gets to like 6'10 and has that jumper and continues to develop. But Bronny James is just a very mature basketball player, great playmaker, good defender, very athletic. So we'll see what happens. I honestly would be surprised if he goes to Oregon. I think it's either G League or UCLA.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask you, Arash, how excited would you be if SC got him? Because
I think it'd be awesome. I think that program, I think, is right on the cusp of being something good. And at least they're consistently good now. Not great, but they're consistently good. Having him be there would be great because, like, LeBron would be courtside. LeBron would bring his friends
also,
and teammates. Yeah.
Important to note, like, Mikey Williams is seriously considered in USC. And if he goes, he's really good friends with Bronny James. So they could both go to USC or UCLA.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Well, who wouldn't want to play in Southern California? You got to think about it like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Oregon's got the Nike connection, but I'd rather live in LA than Eugene. I mean,
now,
come on.
This might sound like a silly question, but I'm not too well versed on high school basketball. Would Bronny be a starter like freshman year on any of those top tier schools?
Yeah. I think he would.
Yeah. I mean, it's on this trajectory of his development. Like, yeah, he's a late bloomer, but he's still very talented.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Las Vegas went from having no professional sports teams in 2016 to now they have an NFL, NHL, and WNBA teams. And there are reports that they could be adding an NBA, MLB, and MLS team very soon. What do you guys think about Vegas in terms of being a host for other sports?
I think it's a great sports town, and I think there was a lot of talk at the beginning of could it be? And I think when people say that, they forget that it's more than just the Las Vegas Strip. There's two things in play here. They got Henderson, they got Summerlin, they got all these towns, and so that's number one. But it's also a transient town. Like I said, a 41-minute flight from Los Angeles. So again, you don't have to be from Las Vegas to go to these games. I've made that flight. I've made that drive. I think it's only a matter of time. Baseball, the NBA, soccer, they will all be there.
I mean, yeah, Oakland's going to move to – the Athletics are going to be the Vegas baseball team. Yep. I think that's just a matter of time. When you look at the NBA and their expansion, I think it's got to be Seattle and Vegas, right?
100%.
I know they're talking about Vancouver and Canada getting another team, but it's like, yeah, that would be great. But at the same time, Vegas is just – that's just – for the league, that makes the most sense, right?
So when that happens, by the way, so they'll bring in Seattle, they'll bring in Las Vegas. One of these three teams will move to the other conference. I want to get your take on what you think. It will be either Minneapolis, Memphis, or New Orleans. Which one would you pick?
It's got to be Memphis geographically, right?
No, New Orleans. What about New Orleans?
They're all very close, by the way.
Oh, really?
So I've done the math. They're all fairly, you know, in terms of how far they are. So.
But isn't New Orleans like, that's Louisiana. Come on, it can't be in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
I know Tennessee, but yeah, I mean, they both should be in the East.
But this would just fix so many things. I mean, Seattle should have a team. Seattle.
Oh, it's
Seattle,
one of the best basketball cities in the world.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so they'll be back. And yeah.
Seattle is actually going to be hosting a preseason game between the Blazers against somebody. I forget who they're playing.
Okay.
But so we'll see it, you know, this season. Yeah, it'll be big for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by my good friend Fredo Cervantes when we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our good friend, Fredo Cervantes. Fredo, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Raj, thank you for having me. I'm doing amazing. How are you doing today?
We are good. So I did your show on Monday. You're doing my show on Wednesday. This is fantastic, my friend. Big news in Charger land today. Derwin James locked up long-term, making history, the highest paid safety in the history of the National Football League. Fredo, your thoughts on that?
Man, first of all, it's just a good thing for that deal to finally get done. I mean, this is something that everyone has been waiting for. Of course, the word around town was that this deal would be done before training camp, before the season starts, and it did get started after missing about, 17 days of practice, and it was just a good thing for that to finally get done, and I know the Chargers are relieved with that. I know a lot of Charger fans are also relieved from that as well, and I'm relieved from it because now I get to write about it, and the numbers, I'm pretty sure, Rosh, you saw the numbers yourself. Those are just incredible numbers. Numbers that not any other safety has ever gotten in NFL history. So it's a good thing for Chargers and Tom Telesco to get that done.
Yeah, Fredo, it's Brandon Deutsch here on the Arash Markazi show. I wanted to ask you about how many wins you think the Chargers are going to get. They're playing in a tough division. I have them winning 12 games and winning the division. I think they're Super Bowl contenders this year. But the Chiefs, even without Tyreek Hill, they're tough. The Raiders got Devontae Adams, Broncos, Russell Wilson. What are your predictions on this upcoming season, or at least where do you think they'll be close to finishing?
Well, honestly, going into last season, of course, we saw the numbers that Justin Herbert put up in his rookie year and coming into his second year with first-year head coach Brandon Staley, which a lot of people want to give him a lot of stuff for the decisions he made last season. I understand that those decisions kind of lost in the last game against the Raiders, but they could have won easily. Easily they could have won 13 games last season. They lost a tough game last season on November 14 against Minnesota at home. They lost a tough one at home against the Patriots as well, against a young quarterback. And they lost a tough one in December against the Texans, which I don't know what happened there. I know there was about 15 players that not played due to COVID. And then they lost the last game of the season, a tough one against the Raiders. So they could have easily won 13 games last season with the roster they had. Now coming into this season, seeing the additions they got, a Khalil Mack, a J.C. Jackson, Sebastian Day from the Rams right across the hall. They got a great, great pieces, and now locking in Derwin James. I can maybe see the Chargers win about 13-14. They do have somewhat of a hard division, maybe the hardest division of them all. But the Kansas City Chiefs don't have Tyrann Mathieu anymore. They don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. They did gain a few pieces. They gained the run to Juju Smith. But I don't think they're going to be the same team as they were before because Tyreek Hill made the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill made a lot of huge plays for Patrick Mahomes to be successful in these past 2 years. I don't think they're going to be the same. The Raiders are always the top, whether they're going to be great this season, they're going to be a Super Bowl championship team, which honestly, you got to give them credit for the addition of Devontae Adams this past offseason. So that's a huge piece. And of course, the head coach of Josh McDaniel. That's the difference. But then we've got Russell Wilson in Denver now. They did lose their running back. They lost a wide receiver during training camp a few weeks ago. So they're down a few pieces. I think the Chargers do have a very good chance at winning the division and maybe winning about 13-14 games this season.
I like the sound of that, Fredo. In terms of, you just mentioned a lot of the big names on the Chargers. This team is loaded with talent. In terms of guys that maybe the casual fan has not heard of, can you give us a name that we should be watching on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, going into this new season?
Yeah, well, look, if I could just put it into one player right now, because this player really, really has caught my attention during training camp, and, I'm actually on my way to training camp now to Costa Mesa. To go ahead and check that out. They got a joint practice with the Cowboys today. And one player that I really, really love, and I hope everyone keeps an eye out for him, rookie running back, we got Isaiah Spiller. I mean, this young guy here, I mean, when I saw him do what he did in college, this is a guy who played 3 years at Texas A&M. He played 3 years at Texas A&M. He's a big running back. He's 215. He's 6'1", 21 years old, and Isaiah this past Saturday made some very good runs, very good schemes from the offense as well that made him kind of stand out against the Rams during the preseason game this past Saturday. And Isaiah Spiller is one of those guys that you're going to look at in week 10 and you're going to be like, damn, I should have got him in my fantasy draft because he's going to be that spectacular, because last season the Chargers kind of had some trouble having Austin Eckler, and then you got to give Austin Eckler a couple breaks there and there. And when it comes to those important downs, when Austin Eckler was maybe not available, he you had to go to a guy like Joshua Kelly. You know, Joshua Kelly, second year running back in the league from UCLA. He's pretty good, but not as good as Isaiah Spiller. And right now, I'm going to let everyone know, everyone got to keep an eye out. Number 28 from the Chargers, Isaiah Spiller is going to be your guy. And for any fantasy players out there that are looking for that player, that sneaky player towards the end of your lineup, go ahead and pick up Isaiah Spiller. Y'all remember his name.
We'll keep our eyes out for Isaiah Spiller. In terms of, we know that this Chargers team is going to be really good, but in terms of weakness, what do you see being this team's weakness that they're going to need to overcome going into the season?
I mean, the weakness, I think it might be the coach. I mean, wow. Brandon Staley deserves a lot of credit for bringing the Chargers in what he did last season, but he continues to get slammed by that fourth and Staley. And a lot of times people, like, there's a lot of people always telling me, like, hey, why is he going on his own 10th and he's going on it on fourth down? Why, when he's down 10 points in the first quarter, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Right now, I heard earlier today, I don't know who it was someone on First Take, someone said, hey, if Chargers don't make the playoff season, Brandon Staley is not going to be the coach no more, and you're going to go ahead and look over for Sean Payton possibly coming over. And I was like, whoa, like, already the pressure's on like that on Brandon Staley. Like, I'm 99.9% sure the Chargers will make the playoffs. There's that little slight chance that you never know injuries. You know, hopefully nothing ever happens to the great Justin Herbert right now. But honestly, their only weakness is technically themselves. But you can kind of put a little bit on the decision making. Decision making is very, very crucial in the NFL.
Yeah, Fredo, I wanted to ask about Josh Palmer. Had a really productive rookie season. Now should be a part of the offense, even with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, like you mentioned, Isaiah Spiller being a part of there. And Gerald Everett, by the way, one of the most underrated signings of free agency for the Chargers. But Josh Palmer, how big of a leap do you think he takes in year two this year?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Joshua Palmer, you know, he was a great guy out of Tennessee. He got good hands. You know, he made a lot of great spectacular catches last season. You know, he caught four touchdowns last year. You know, he was very, very good. He was targeted a lot, even though you have a guy like Keenan Allen, and, you know, you got Mike Williams. He made a good splash, and hopefully Palmer this season, he can just catch the ball a little more. There was a lot of attempts, like I was saying. He got targeted a lot, but he did have a lot of crucial drop balls. And if he can just fix that and, you know, do that over this past offseason and come into this season with just a mentality of win it all, because it seems like all of the Chargers, it seems like they're all in this season. And, you know, shout out to the Chargers for putting out their spectacular documentary they put up on YouTube, which is called All In. And, you know, season two of All In premieres next week on their YouTube channel. But if you catch that All In, you'll see how everyone just bought in. Day in and day out on the field, off practice. And, you know, for everyone out there, you know, you guys want to go ahead and check out some exclusive highlights on the Cowboys and the Chargers today. You know, you guys can check that out on my Instagram and my Twitter at Fredo Sponsors. And, you know, that hopefully that would help out the whole team.
Yeah, we got to check that out for sure, Fredo. I want to take a quick step back in terms of the whole entire AFC landscape. I'm sure that you have a team that you feel like is being slept on from the national media perspective. If you had to say a team that you think is not getting enough credit for how good they're going to be this season, besides the Chargers, who would that team be in the AFC?
Wow, a team that might do something, that might have to be the Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
You know, honestly, the Miami Dolphins are not giving Tua Tagovailoa any credit. They're saying that he's not the guy, and now that he got Tyreek Hill coming over from the Chiefs, that might be a duel that might be kind of crazy, because, you know, they both got legs. You know, Tua is pretty young, coming into his third year as well with Justin Herbert, who was drafted before Justin Herbert. Remember that Tua was taken fifth overall before, you know, the Chargers took Herbert at six. But I think Tua and Hill might be a great combo. They might win at least about eight games. I'm not sure that might get them into the playoffs or not. But I think the Miami Dolphins might make a splash this season.
Fredo, how significant would this season be in terms of, so the Rams are coming off a Super Bowl championship, and again, we've kind of talked about, you know, the importance of the Chargers to move the needle, to sell tickets, to get fans. Now that the Rams are the defending champions, and on paper, the Chargers have, if not the most, one of the most talented teams in the league, how significant, not just for the football team, but long-term in terms of building a fan base, getting a piece of the market, is winning a Super Bowl this year?
I mean, from seeing where the Chargers have been since they arrived in L.A. About six years ago, they didn't have that fan base. You know, them coming from San Diego, you know, miles down south of Los Angeles, they're associated. I talk to a lot of LA sports fans, and they just tell me, like, hey, Fredo, how can you associate yourself with this team? And I'm like, look, first of all, me growing up in Los Angeles, there was no team. And, you know, Arash, we talked about this a few days ago on my show. Los Angeles didn't have a sports team. I grew up cheering for the Minnesota Vikings. And a lot of people are like, why? And I'm like, well, at the time in the mid-2000s, late 2000s, we had Adrian Peterson running the ball like crazy. He teamed up with Brett Favre. They almost got the Super Bowl, but then, you know, messed it up with the Saints. But looking at the Chargers fan base coming over from San Diego, not a lot of people came over from San Diego. A lot of people are a little salty right now. And the Chargers from year 16 to now, their fan base has just grown and grown and grown. There's so many L.A. fans that became Charger fans. You know, being here in L.A., they became Charger fans. And one thing that the Rams did was, again, they were previously here years ago. They left, now came back, and they won a Super Bowl, two Super Bowl appearances, and they kind of seemed to take over the city. They're the number one team in Los Angeles right on the football landscape. But like you said, the Chargers made some significant changes that kind of maybe put them ahead of the Rams now, and they got to win. They just got to win. When you play in Los Angeles, whether you're the Lakers, you're the LA Kings, even the LA Sparks, they've all won. The Dodgers have won. Even the Angels have won, which they're still here, kind of, in, you know, they want to be called the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, but they're still here. And the only team that's kind of left out there is kind of the LA Clippers. You know, they still haven't won a damn thing out here. So it's like, you don't want to be named with the Clippers. A lot of people want to say, hey, the Chargers are like the Clippers right here in Los Angeles, and the Chargers now have to make a change early on right now, because if they're in LA for 10 years and they don't win nothing in those first 10 years, it's going to really ruin their image, and they got to do something now, and hopefully they can do it now behind Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Fredo, I wanted to ask you, there's been a lot of talk about Trey Lance and the 49ers. I know you cover the Chargers, but there's a lot of expectations for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations in the Niners. They went to the NFC title game last year. A lot of people say they have a better roster, but it's all about Trey Lance, whether he can do well or not. What are your thoughts on him and how he'll be in his rookie, well, not his rookie season, but his full game schedule, you know, because he only played three games last year?
Yeah, I mean, Trey Lance, the little highlight that we got a chance to see from him last season that kind of made it, the Niners be like, hey, you know what, let's move on from Garoppolo. It's time to move on from this guy. I don't know why. I honestly feel like you got to give Garoppolo another year or two. I know sometimes he gets hurt, sometimes he doesn't make those crucial completions he needs to, because, yes, they were very, very close to making it to the Super Bowl last year. So let's not forget that part on that. And, you know, for them to kind of move on to Trey Lance lets you know how special this kid is going to be in the future. And I'm pretty excited to see what he kind of brings out here, because the Niners have always been a very, very great team, you know, through years and years. You know, the Niners, there's a lot of Niners fans in Los Angeles. I know a lot of my friends who are Niners fans, and, you know, they support their team all the way down here. But Trey Lance himself, you know, like you said, it's his second year, coming into his first year from, you know, where he came from, North Dakota State, I think he came from. And he's pretty small as a quarterback. You know, a lot of people always want a big-sized quarterback. He's about like 6'3", 6'4", right now. And Trey Lance might be able to splash something, but I don't see that maybe the Niners winning no more than 7-8 games. I think they're going to have a down year. Arizona's really going to be good in their division, and as well as the Rams and, you know, Seattle. Who knows how they're going to be without Russell Wilson now. But the Niners can maybe do something depending on how that coaching staff with Shanahan and the new combination with that could be.
Fredo, we talked about this on your show, the Lakers and the Clippers. Listen, I think a lot of people are down on the Lakers. I get it. I think if they're healthy, they're not as bad as people think. On paper, the Clippers are perhaps maybe the most talented team in the league. Your thoughts on those two teams as we go into this season?
Well, first of all, I am glad. I mean, as of right now, I don't want to say I'm glad yet, but it is August the 17th, and Russell Westbrook is still on the Lakers. I'm happy for that. I know training camp is maybe about 5 weeks away from now, and honestly, I think the new addition with Darvin Ham can really make a change with this trio here that we have in Los Angeles with the Lakers, because last season was just devastating to watch and see that they didn't even make the playoffs. That was very, very bad. It was maybe one of the worst seasons of their history. But looking at what the Clippers did, adding John Wall, they continued keeping their same lineup with Leonard, Kawhi, George, and you got the Morris brother. They got Reggie Jackson was spectacular all year long for the Clippers. Got to give that man some credit. And of course, Tyronn Lue has been a good coach for them. Very exciting. But what's the difference between both of them? I mean, it's honestly. Once something 2 years ago in 2020, the Lakers, LeBron James, Anthony Davis are still there, the championship core. And then you got, Kawhi and Paul George, the ones that have been getting hurt and not been able to compete out there. And we have Pandemic George, who a lot of people, that pandemic time that he had during, the bubble, it was an awful stretch against the Denver Nuggets for the Clippers that time. And I don't know if they ever will win a championship. I think there's always a lot of more better teams than the Clippers, even though they might be the best on paper right now. But you still got the Warriors. You still got Milwaukee. You got a Philadelphia. You got Boston. Honestly, if the Clippers were to face Boston, Boston still got a better roster than the Clippers. Maybe not on paper, but physically on the court, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, the Dog. I mean, there is a lot of good teams out there, and I mean, hopefully Steve Ballmer made the right decision years ago to purchase this team and maybe win a championship. But just the same thing, like I told you guys earlier on the Chargers, if they don't win one in the first 10 years, it doesn't look good. And now that Ballmer's been an owner for about 10 years, I believe it's been, he still hasn't been able to win one. And all those 10 years that he's been an owner, he's had good teams, because he bought this team with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul on it. So they already have the talent. They've made a lot of changes throughout the past 10 years, and they still haven't been able to win it. I don't know if the Clippers will ever win an NBA championship.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that in terms of having to win a championship. I was covering the Clippers when they had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. During that time period, the Lakers were one of the worst teams in the league, and it didn't matter. Why? Because not only did the Clippers not make it to the conference finals, and not only did they not win a championship, they blew a 3-1 lead, for example, to Houston. They blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. So despite being a good team, despite being a top five team, a playoff team, that's the way their season came to a close. And once again, people said, well, here we go again with the Clippers. It is so important in Los Angeles to win a championship. Fredo, you're the best. Monday Night Fredo is your show. I had such a good time on your show. I have to do it again sometime. Thanks for coming on here. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing worldwide through the hard times. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube. We'll be right back.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.